Church, I'm praying that all of you have thousands of I don't remember moments where God can use you to invest in people. And you don't even know how much God is going to have an impact on their lives because you tapped into the power that God gave you and you allowed the power of the Holy Spirit to work through you and you spoke to people with truth and love.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Forest Square Church. It's Sunday, May 17th, 2026. Pastor Jeff is speaking. Today's message is entitled, You Have the Power, and our text comes to us from Acts chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. And now, here is Pastor Jeff.
Good morning, everyone. So good to be here with you all in God's house another day. Pastor began to touch on it just a tiny bit. We are kind of focusing this month on what we're calling empowered living. And if you were here last week and you heard his sermon, you could kind of see how that was in there. Today we're going to focus quite a bit on that idea of power and what power is and how power plays out in our life and the power that isn't ours. You know, it's funny, as I was preparing, a couple of things kept coming to mind. I was like, we need to know this. And then I thought, knowing is half the battle, G.I. Joe. And then I thought, you will have power. And then I thought, by the power of Grayskull. No, wait, that's He-Man. Right? So all of these little things kept coming up in my brain as I was thinking about the idea of power, 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 power. And what I want us to understand is that we have power. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's God's. And God gives that power to us. And Jesus expresses it to his disciples, which is us. And Jesus puts it inside of us to give us the power to do things. Well, what are those things? What is God giving us the power to do? And so as I began to process this and pray about this and sit down with this idea of empowered living, I started thinking about all of us, right? Not just me, but all of us. Not just you, but me included, all of us. I started imagining myself right here scanning the room and seeing who was here. And certain things started coming to my mind. Things like, well, I know most of you are here today, not because you're looking for Jesus, but because you already found him. And amen for that. Praise God, right? You're looking for him. You're hungry for him. You're thirsting for his righteousness. Men of power know this as we go through the Beatitudes. You know, at one point, you were poor in spirit because you didn't have the Spirit of God living in you. And through that process, you end up at a place where in Jesus' name, and this may not sound like fun, but you can end up at a place where you are persecuted for his righteousness' sake. That's what shows the world around you that you're living an empowered life. That you're not there to celebrate what the world says to celebrate, but you're there to celebrate what Jesus has done for you. There's a difference. And the world will not appreciate you celebrating what Jesus has done for you because they want all the glory. They want all the honor. They want the rewards. And so I think about those of you who are here today. I prayed for those of you who were going to be here today. And I said to myself, I know most of you really well. I know most of you enough, as some of us, man, we go all the way back to that nursery over there when we were tiny together. And I know where you're at in life, and I know that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I know that some people might be here right now, and you might be on that bubble. You know, you like what you hear, you want it, but you're not sure, and you're trying to step in it, and maybe you're on the bubble because you're struggling with your own things, or maybe you're on the bubble because the enemy keeps pushing you back. Maybe you're not making that final commitment to step into this Jesus thing because you feel some sort of guilt or shame in your life. Well, let me tell you something. If guilt or shame are falling in your life right now, that is not of the Lord. God will not shame you. God will lead you to him, to his loving embrace, to a place of sanctification. And sanctification has kind of two terms that we can understand, two different definitions, so to say. One of them is you've been sanctified. You've been made holy in God's eyes. The other is that you're set apart from the things of this world to do God's work. And that's the part we're going to focus on today. Those of you who are on the bubble, I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you rebuke the voice of the enemy that's telling you you are unable or unfit or unworthy to know the Lord, to walk with the Lord, or even get close to him. Because that's how the devil doesn't get you to worship the devil, but gets you to not pray and know God. Because praying is conversation. And praying and spending time with God in prayer. Not Jehovah Genie. We've talked about that, right? You don't rub the magic lamp and pray your wishes and God sends them down. That's not what we're doing here, okay? It's not Jehovah Geico, right? You don't wait to get into a car accident to pull out your car insurance and call your agent, who you don't even remember his name, until you pull out the card, right? He is not Jehovah Genie and he is not Jehovah Geico. He is Jehovah Jireh. He's the great I Am. And he's calling you to a place where you can stop being confused about the gift of salvation that you've received. Don't be confused and walk in this world like you shouldn't have it. And since I shouldn't have it, there's no way I can share it. Because some of you, you have no problem sharing your faith with others. Some of you are eager to tell people about what God has done in your life. And for others, you feel confused and you're like, I have no idea how to share this with anybody else. I don't know how. I don't know enough Bible verses. Or you haven't taken any classes. Ralph brought this up. I thought he was reading my notes as he was talking about this week's Bible app study. Praise God and how His Spirit works, right? We were going to go through this today, and the Bible app Bible study is going to reinforce what we're talking about this week. Okay? So obviously this is of God for you. So get into that group and download the Bible app and be a part of that study. But the reality is whether you've taken a class or not, it is your job in this world to go into all the world. It is your job. You might think, well, no, that's your job because you have the title of pastor. Well, let me tell you something. The job to share the gospel doesn't come with the title of pastor. It comes with the title of disciple of Christ. Well, I'm not really one of them super Christians, Pastor. I'm just a Christian. I'm not a disciple. Okay, well, let's get rid of that right now. The title of Christian cannot come upon you without being a disciple of Christ first. Okay, we can get into Bible, join us at Men of Power or something like that, and we'll point out to you how that all works out. But the reality is that you cannot be a Christian without being a disciple. And as disciples, we all have a responsibility. All of us have a responsibility to fulfill the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is Jesus' own words. He had come, he'd poured himself into flesh. He grew up, he began his ministry. At the end of his ministry, he was crucified. He was put in the tomb. 3 days later, he rose again. He did miracles, signs, and wonders throughout all of this time. And he sits down with his disciples and he commissions them with this. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And lo, I am always with you, even to the end of the age. That is the Great Commission. As you go into the world, Jesus is giving us this responsibility. Your gift of salvation, free, free gift. Amen. Praise God, right? Nothing you can do to earn it. Even though you didn't deserve it, he still gave it, right? But it's like if I give you a gift card to Target, you can't go use it at Walmart. It has to be used in the right way. If I give you new tires for your car, you can't put them on your house unless you live in a motorhome, but that's a different story, right? But the reality is that the gift that we are given of salvation, that is for us to live in and to walk in. And a byproduct of that is that we will begin to do things. We'll get to Ephesians, but if you ever wondered, why am I here? Why am I on earth? What is the purpose for my life? Well, the purpose for your life is for God to be glorified through it. Period. Wow, no amen, no nothing, huh? Wow. You know, I could be meaner, but Jesus said no. That's what her shirt says right there. I couldn't help it. We were born to do what God has called us to do. We've all been given gifts. We've all been given abilities. We've all been given courage in different ways, shapes, and forms so that we can fulfill the commission that God has put on us. It's what we were born to do. And we get to continue the work that Jesus did. Now, I know some of you are like, that sounds great, but how do I do it? How do I act and react in life? That's what you need to be focusing on. I've said this before. And I gotta say it again. The way you act and react to the world and everything that's going on around you is your living testimony. Sure, maybe back then you were mean. Sure, maybe back then you were a real tough guy, and if somebody just stepped on your shoes, you'd take them out. You know, who knows? People get wrapped up in the weirdest things, right? Maybe you were a jerk to everybody. You know, maybe you let people run all over you. I don't know what it was. I don't know where you were, but I know that now the way you act and react speaks volumes to the world around you. Maybe your coworkers used to know you as a certain type of person, but since God's come into your life, things have changed. Someone might look at you and be like, used to be a lot of fun. What happened? Hey, we used to have a good time when we hung out. What happened? Well, we have to find a way to let people know that living for Jesus is way more fun than living in the world. Living for Jesus brings a peace in our life that we don't get in the world. The world chases it through all kinds of distractions. But we have it living inside of us. We have it with us, right? And from our living sort of testimony, there's a second part of that, and that would be our spoken testimony, right? So it's twofold how we go to the world, right? First thing we have to do is we have to tell them what he did for us. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace have you been saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? First and foremost, this tells us, yes, it's a free gift that I didn't deserve, and I can't stand here and tell you how good I am because I'm saved. Because I didn't do it. I didn't work for it. I didn't earn it. I didn't save up. I didn't plan for retirement salvation. It's something God gave to me. But something that I don't want us to miss is that verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians say, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift. Not of works, no boasting, but verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What Paul's telling us through this verse in Ephesians is that not only is the gift of salvation that you have yours because you were able to open and freely accept this gift, but on the back end of that, God has already created you with a plan and a purpose for your life. There is a list of people that God has that he expects you to reach. There are people in your life who need Jesus, and you are the one that God created to reach them. What happens to them if you don't do your part? You see, at one time in your life, you came to Christ. At one time in your life, you had whatever it was that was going on, that maybe it was a tragedy, maybe it was just meeting somebody who had a different sort of spirit or character or understanding of the world. Maybe it was finally listening to your parents, right? Who knows what it is, right? But for some reason, you came to Jesus. And you went through your ABCs of the evangelist who came and talked to you and said, first, you got to admit you're a sinner. Then you got to believe Jesus died and rose again to pay the price for your sins. And see, you got to commit to him. We're having a little trouble with the commitment part sometimes. We struggle. And then we feel guilty and we feel shame because we've struggled when God's grace is right there telling you it's okay, I got you. Let me pick you up, dust you off, and keep you moving and walking in your commission. Your commission is to go and make disciples. Your job, your responsibility, your calling, your purpose on this earth is to make disciples. No, Pastor, that's your job. No. My job is to give you the words, the word. My job is to instruct you. My job is to lift you up. My job is to invest in you because you don't take me to work with you. I can't minister to your coworkers, but you can. I'm not asking for an invitation here, okay? Yeah, I'm not. I promise you, I'm not. I've got a very busy life. If I could make time, I would, but I'm not asking for an invitation. But it's your job to reach your neighbors. You know why? Because I don't live with you, and they're not my neighbors. They're your neighbors. If you do want to have a really good barbecue and invite me over, I'll come eat and I'll talk to them, I promise. But the reality is I'm not going to be there every day. But guess who is? You are. And how can we walk in this victory? How can we walk in the grace and the peace that God has given us and look at our neighbor and say, "Hey, he's on his way to hell," and not care about it? Oh, yeah, you can all, Pastor, how could you say that? Do they know Jesus? Do they not know Jesus? Hey, I want to put your neighbor's eternity into your hands today. The way somebody took your eternity in their hands and came to you and said, "I need you to know who God is. I need you to know what Jesus did. I need you to know that he died for your sins. I need you to know that if you just accept this gift today, you can return to relationship with the Lord. And while life will still be hard, it won't be as hard, that's for sure. Because in the middle of the storms that are still going to come, you have the peace that goes beyond understanding, that comes from the grace, that comes from the cross, that comes from a God who loves you. Don't be selfish with that. We have to step out and we have to be his witnesses. That is what Jesus calls you to do. To be his witnesses. Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 3. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore your kingdom?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your commission upon our lives, Lord. We thank you that we can sit with your teachings. Help us today, Lord, to hear you speak. Father, I'm not preaching at anybody. I'm preaching to myself. But Lord, help what you have for me and for all of us today to penetrate our hearts, to put us on that path where we can walk victoriously and love our neighbors. You speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What we're seeing here and what Jesus is telling them, and there's several key things I want us to remember. He gives an instruction to not leave, but to wait. He lets them know that by waiting and following his instructions that we will receive power. And at the very end of it, he says that power is to be witnesses. So sometimes when we think about what kind of power we have, I've got a nephew who would every now and then look at me and be like, "So if you were a superhero, what superpower would you like to have? Flying? Invisibility? Super strength?" Right? But it's not that kind of power. It's even more than that. It's the power to help someone walk into eternity in grace. And I think that's even more powerful than X-ray vision, although X-ray vision would be pretty cool. It is. Flying would be really cool too, I think. But anyway, that's a different story, neither here nor there. Jesus is giving his final instructions. In the book of Acts, what happens after Jesus says that is a cloud appears and a loud noise appears and Jesus ascends to the throne. This is the last orders, the last instructions, the last teaching. Wait, receive, and then witness. You know, it's really important for us to understand that when life is happening, very often we have to wait on God. We have to wait for God's timing. But I prayed for it now. I said, "God, in your name, now." I rubbed the Jehovah genie lamp and said, "God, now," and it didn't happen. Therefore, God must not be real.
It's not the way that works. Sometimes we have to sit and we have to understand that God will give us a command to wait. I've been praying for my son, my nephew, my niece, my daughter, my aunt, my uncle, my wife, my brother, whoever, your grandma, your grandpa, whoever it is in your life. You've been praying over them and praying over them and praying over them, saying, God, work in their life. God, be glorified in their life. God, be real in their life. God, do something in their life. And then you walk around pouting and kicking your can down the street because that guy's still doing whatever it is they're doing that you wish they weren't doing. How come God hasn't answered my prayer? Because God's telling you to keep praying and wait. Because prayer is powerful. But prayer isn't necessarily changing the other person. God's going to do that. But prayer, time with God, changes us, changes you, gives you more compassion, more endurance to continue to pray for those who, let's be honest, at times we said are hopeless. That person will never come around. That person will never get it. Oh, yeah? Keep praying. Don't you dare limit the power of God because you think somebody can't pull their head out. Let's be honest. Often, we become God in people's lives by deciding they've rejected Jesus, they don't want Jesus, so I'm not going to talk to them about Jesus. That is not what you were put on this earth to do. What you were put onto this earth to do is to obey the commands of God. And the first command in this is Jesus instructing them to not leave Jerusalem. This emphasizes the importance of obedience in our life to God. And we've been talking about this for the last few weeks, this idea that God said, I am, which means it is the now, the present. God never said, I was or I will be. God is, I am. In the present tense, and because he's in the present tense, if God says wait, then we wait. But wait, I need him to do this, and I need him to do that, and oh, I feel shame about this, and I feel shame about this. Stop it. If God has you in a waiting pattern, continue to wait, because sometimes the waiting is part of your preparation. While you're waiting on the Lord, and you're waiting on the Lord to do something, what are you doing? Now, obviously, he's in charge and he's got it, but what are you doing? Well, I know I need to talk to this person and I'm praying about this person, but I don't know what to say. Hey, why don't you learn a little more Bible? It's not a bad idea, right? People always ask for an instruction manual for things. Here's the instruction manual for life. Okay? So the idea of waiting, it requires time and it requires preparation. Waiting is part of God's perfect timing. Obedience in the waiting is crucial because we can easily slide away while we're waiting and we have to be focused. The preparation that God is doing in your life will continue in the waiting. You know, waiting sometimes is something that we don't like to do. But how many of you like fruits and vegetables? Well, if you're going to grow your own fruits and vegetables, you don't just get to put a seed in the ground, step back and say, okay, let's eat. A seed has to go into the ground. And that seed, the outer shell of that seed has to die so that the inner part can grow roots, take root, begin to receive nutrients, and then eventually sprout. If you rush it, you're not going to get any fruit. Without the rain, the sunlight, and the cycles of the seasons that God has put into place, a seed will never take root and will never grow. And for that reason, we, like disciples, we must wait for the Spirit to grow inside of us. We must be ready to receive it like a seed in good soil. The second thing that God talks about to us, that Jesus says to his disciples, is first he tells them to wait, and then he gives them a promise. God is faithful in his promises, amen? Jesus says, while John performed baptisms with water, you will now be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we don't know how we can do things, how we can get there. How am I going to make it? How am I going to have enough strength, the bandwidth, whatever it may be? Where am I going to find the right words? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the source. He's the power and our guidance. We're not left to serve God in our own strength. Let me say that again. You are not left to serve God on your own strength. If I were here to serve God under my own strength, I would fail. Now, let me be completely honest with you. Even with the power of the Holy Spirit, there are times that I fail. But He's there. And He reminds me. And He prods me. And He pokes me. And He gets me back on track. Because that's the power that God promises. The advocate, the helper. Those are different names that we see for the Holy Spirit. We're not left to serve God in our own strength. It's the Spirit that empowers us. The Holy Spirit is a divine gift from God that empowers you to not be as mean, right? Empowers you to reach those that you've already given up on. Empowers you to reach people you don't really like. Well, I don't really like my neighbor. He plays his music really loud all the time and I can never sleep. So, you know, whatever. Heck with that guy. It's a good thing God didn't say that to you or say that about us, because I'm sure there's a lot of things that we have done. Look, we will fall short, but the Holy Spirit is with them. And baptism in the Spirit is so different from baptism in water. It's a spiritual empowerment and a presence of God active and living and working in our lives every step we take of every day. And we have to recognize that it's there. You know, the idea of having the power, it equips us with boldness. It gives us wisdom when I don't even know what I said to that guy. There's a guy, my brother-in-law, Daniel. He plays drums over at Florence Avenue, Forestwood Church, quite often for their worship team. And one day he told me, hey, I met a friend of yours. And I said, who? He says, his name's Gerardo. And I said, Gerardo what? And he's like, I don't know his last name. And I was like, oh, okay, well, how do I know him? He says, he knows you from Van Nuys. I said, okay, can I get a little more context? He says, well, to be honest with you, man, when I told him I knew you and who you were, blah, 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 and we started talking, he goes, man, the only reason I'm still serving God is because of Jeff. And I said, Gerardo who? Right? I'm being honest with you guys. Gerardo who? Well, it turns out that this kid had signed up for our Bible college many, many, many years ago, back when we had an extension in Van Nuys, and he had started to do the program, and he was going to walk away, and then he came to tell me, he came to tell me that he was dropping out of the program, and apparently I sat down and had about an hour conversation with him. I don't remember what I said. I don't remember what his issue was. I don't remember why he was going to drop out. I don't remember his name. I've asked my brother-in-law to take a picture of him and send me a picture of him. He took the picture I sent. I don't even know his face. Church, when the Holy Spirit wants to work through you and you let Him, He gets the glory. You don't even remember, but the impact you have on somebody's life can change everything. According to the testimony Gerardo shared with my brother-in-law, it's that if it wasn't for Jeff's words, I wouldn't be serving God. I don't know where I'd be. He's still serving God. He still ministers. He didn't get divorced. And he went down this list of all of these things, and all I could say was glory to God, because I don't remember. Church, I'm praying that all of you have thousands of I don't remember moments, where God can use you to invest in people. And you don't even know how much God is going to have an impact on their lives because you tapped into the power that God gave you and you allowed the power of the Holy Spirit to work through you and you spoke to people with truth and love. But first you have to wait, and then you have to prepare, and then you have to know that it's the boldness and the Spirit. It's the Spirit that gives us the boldness, the wisdom, and the strength to do it. The promise of the Holy Spirit comes, and that promise comes with action. The Holy Spirit will come. Jesus says, wait. I promise this is going to happen. And when this happens, you will be empowered. Say, I am empowered. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be witnesses. It starts locally in your home. Then it moves into your city. Then it moves into your state, and then finally the whole world. And that breaks down in Acts chapter 8, where Jesus says, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't leave your home. Wait. Because once you've worked on your home, then you can go outside to your neighbors, to your area, to your regional space. That's your Judea. And that's your Samaria. And then eventually you end up going globally to the ends of the earth. But God isn't saying that you specifically have to get to the ends of the earth. But if you're doing this at home and you multiply, then you do it in your neighborhood and they multiply, and then your county, and then your state, and then your country, and then eventually it gets to every corner of the earth. That's the way that works. The power of the Holy Spirit could use you specifically to reach every corner, but it starts at home. It starts with you. It starts with you receiving that. Every believer has a role in sharing the gospel, starting with wherever God has placed you. But I'm not in ministry. Yes, you are. The work of the ministry is done outside of this building by disciples of Christ in their homes, in their workplaces, in their neighborhoods, at the mall, at the park, wherever you are, there is an opportunity for you to be a witness. Empowerment that comes from God is for action. Let me say that again. The empowerment that comes from God is for action. I never understood toy collectors. I mean, I get it, but I've never really understood it. You buy me a toy, I'm going to take it out of the box, I'm going to play with it. Toy collectors are like, you wrapped it. I hope you didn't get tape on the box because I want to save it and put it away. It might be worth some money later. But then you don't have the joy of getting to play with the toy, right? Imagine how much fun. Think about that when you were a kid, right? Think about that. Whether it's your birthday or Christmas or whatever moment you got a gift and you opened it up and you couldn't wait to get it out and play with that toy. Of course, sometimes the kids take out the toy and play with the box, but that's a different story altogether. You get a little older, and then you really understand what your toy is, and you really want to play with it. Imagine having the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Imagine being empowered with the ultimate source, and you just put it away. What, are you saving it for a rainy day? What did I say about Jehovah Geico? God is not your insurance agent. You don't pull him out when you have an accident or a fire. He's something that needs to be taken out of the box so that it can be put into action, because we are called to action. There's a purpose of empowerment, and that purpose is witnessing. Start in your Jerusalem. Reach out. I talked a couple of weeks ago about a candle. If you had a candle that was lit and that fire was burning on that candle, and you take another candle that's not lit, and you bring them together, what you have are two flames. Sharing the fire inside you does not put out your flame. As a matter of fact, it spreads it. It takes it even further. We have to understand that God has called us to be Spirit-empowered witnesses. John 14, 25 through 27 says this, "All I have spoken while still with you, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid." Jesus empowers you to be more. Whatever you're doing, however you're struggling in your heart right now about your own discipleship with the Lord, however you're processing this idea of having to talk to people in your life about God, and you think, well, not me, I say, you have the power to be more. And it's not because I say it. It's because Jesus said it. John 14:12, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Not only do you have the power to be more, you have the power to do more. Say, I have the power to be more, to do more. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. All right, one more time. I have the power to be more, to do more, to reach more. Ooh, it got quiet on reach. You're all, be more, do more, reach more. Look, it's okay. Because you're thinking about reaching more under your own abilities. I want you to know that you can reach more through the power of God that lives in you. Through the power of God that is in you that will work through you to reach the people that you thought could never be reached. And some of you are like, uh-oh, I bet Pastor's got an action point right now. I bet he's going to tell us we have to do something right now. I just came to hear a good message and good music and feel good about myself. Well, tough. Because as disciples of Christ, you've all been commissioned to go. Therefore, as you go, Jesus made an assumption about your life. The assumption is that you are going to go into the world. Why? Because you are disciples of Christ. Amen? All right. No, I'm not going to ask you to go talk to a bunch of strangers. But I'll tell you this, talking to strangers is a whole heck of a lot easier than talking to people you know. Because if a stranger tells you to go jump in a lake and they don't want to hear about your Jesus, you can just move on. But when your friends and your family tell you to go jump in a lake because you're talking about Jesus, that hurts. And sometimes the devil will use your fear of not being liked by the people you like to zip your mouth. Are you willing to play with their eternity? Somebody was willing to unzip their mouth and talk to you about Jesus because they cared about your eternity. If these are people in your life that you know and you love, friends that you care about, family members who don't know the Lord, and you just think, well, I don't want to bug them. You're taking their eternity very lightly. And it might be easy for some of you because you think, well, my eternity's set. They can make their own decision. Boy, isn't it good that God didn't say that about you? So, there's a challenge. Gentlemen, if you would. Right now, the guys are going to be passing some stuff out to you. It's a simple little piece of paper. It looks a lot like this one right here. And it says, I will pray for and speak to the following people about my faith and or my church. The guys are not only giving you a piece of paper, but they're going to give you a pen. Because as we've been talking this whole time, God is bringing somebody into your heart. Could be a neighbor, could be a coworker, could be a friend, could be your spouse, could be your children, it could be anybody. But I want to share a quick story with you as we get into this part right here. And I want to say that about, oh, I don't know, 6, 7 years ago, maybe a little bit more. I can't really remember exactly when. But we did something like this, where I asked you to pray about someone. I asked you to put their name on a piece of paper. And we brought these names up and we put them in this box and we began to pray. There's a family here right now that has been here because we did this. And the mother of this young man came to me and said, Pastor, remember when you had us write the names down? I want to introduce you to the name. That was Archie. Sister Shelley came to me and told me that all I wanted to do was go to church with my whole family. I wanted my son to know the Lord. And now because of her faithfulness and action in prayer and talking to her son about coming, you guys have been here I don't even know how long now. And through Sister Shelley's faith and acting in the power of the Holy Spirit with the confidence of the power of God. We have Archie, we have Dominic, we have Melina, we have Leilani, and that is extended to grandma and aunties. God's arms are not too short to reach your family. The Holy Spirit is powerful enough to reach those who you think are unreachable. And now a whole family being raised in the ways of the Lord because of a faithful mother praying for her son. You have people in your life who need the Lord. Hey, I'm not saying they're perfect. I'm not saying any of us are. But we are made perfect through Christ. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a minute. I want you to bow your head. And I want you to say, Lord, who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to talk to? Who is it, Lord? I want you to write that name down on that piece of paper. Now, the Lord's going to bring some conviction into your life right now because there might be some people you've given up on. And today's the day God's going to tell you to not give up on them anymore. There might be some people in your life who you think don't deserve it. Well, God can forgive you of those thoughts too because you didn't deserve it either. And the reality is this. As we begin to play this simple song of love, because all of us understand what it's like to be in God's warm embrace because we're here. The people whose names you've put down, who you've written down today, they don't know the peace that you have, the peace that comes from grace. Or maybe they knew it and they've rejected it. And instead of you reaching for them, you're bitter that they've rejected it. I don't know. Take it up with the Holy Spirit. But as a church, this is what we're going to do. As we begin to play, finish writing the names of whoever it is on there. And then be empowered by the Holy Spirit to stand up, walk up to the front, put their name in this box. And as a whole church body, we're going to pray over this today. That God not only gives you the opportunity, but helps you to speak in authority and power that comes from the Holy Spirit. Because you have the power to be more. You have the power to do more. And you have the power to reach more. As we begin to sing, and you feel led, and you understand that you have the power of God inside of you. You know, you can write your own name on there if you feel like you're missing. We'll pray for you too, right? For those of you who are here today that are on the bubble or haven't quite made a decision to follow the Lord, this is an opportunity to do that. We're going to sing right now, sister, okay? All right. So as we begin to sing, what I'd like you to do is to come forward and begin to place the names of your loved ones, the names of your neighbors, wait for it, the names of your enemies, the names of the people who have wronged you, who need to know the Lord. Think of those people. Let God put them on your heart. And right now, as we begin to sing, go ahead and begin to come up, put them back in, return to your seat. Amen. I sing a simple song of love to my Savior, to my Jesus. Grateful for the things you've done, my love and Savior, precious Jesus. My heart is glad that you called me your own. There's no place I'd rather be than in your arms of love, in your arms.
my Savior, to my Jesus. I'm grateful for the things you've done, love and Savior.
It's a sobering moment when the Lord calls you and you respond to Him. And with the names that we have submitted here before the Lord, you believe the Lord is able to answer your prayer? Of course. Yes, He will. And He does. Years ago, there was a chorus we sang, "Lord, lay upon my heart a soul to speak." And when the Lord puts that burden for someone, it's for a reason, is that the Lord is working in those lives. I want to pray over the prayers that will be emitted. And don't you dare give up. You bathe the people in prayer every day. Call to the Lord and say, "Lord, I've submitted those names. You know who they are." And then you pray that God will make a way. Can I hear an amen to that? So this is one of the greatest calls that I think I've ever seen here. We've come to the front saying, "These are the folks that I'm going to be witnessing to the glory of God." So, Lord, we thank you this morning for the move of your Spirit as responsible disciples, Lord, that we are to share that which you've given us. So we pray, Lord, that you would give us the courage and the determination to pray through, that, Father, none of the names that have been submitted will be lost, but that they would all come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that there will be an awakening in our hearts, a sense of responsibility under your fear, but that is to say, under the grace that enables us to do that which you called us to do. Lord, I submit these names into your care, and to each one who has submitted those names, Lord, work through each one of us for your glory in the name of Jesus. Lord, in Jesus' name, awaken us and give us that sense of power and destiny for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. This is a wonderful day.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.